Okay, our topic tonight is grieving. That's a picture, as you can see, of Jesus weeping over the city of Jerusalem. Grieving that they hadn't dared to believe what he was revealing about God. Most of them just stayed within their patterns of behaviour. They'll end up crucifying Jesus, the leaders and others. So here he is, if only you'd listened. And he's obviously grieving, showing us how to grieve. Grieving is nature's way of letting go. When we experience a significant loss or hurt, we're tempted to not let it get to us, kidding ourselves that we're keeping control, when the truth is that the loss or hurt is controlling us. Without going to confession too early in the retreat, I was unwell, and my brother John was only 4 years older than me, was dying at the age 60. He was a priest in the Aboriginal missions for years. So I was his carer, let's put it that way. And I mustn't have been too well myself, because when I walked in with him to the hospital, the nurse behind the counter said John was only 4 days away from death. She said, "Oh, which of you is staying?" So I said to John, "You must be looking fantastically well." But when John died, I know this is what I did. I did give the homily and say the mass, but I basically spent the time going through all his belongings and sorting them out and all that. Probably, I think I was just avoiding grieving. In which case, the loss is actually controlling me or you, not us, daring to embrace it. Grieving is our way of letting go of that control. Grieving is as natural and necessary as breathing. We live in a culture that resists grieving. We're told to be strong from when we're little children, boys anyhow, maybe girls too. Be strong. Don't let go control. But we need to grieve over our losses and our hurts. You know that, or you wouldn't have come on this retreat. When our losses and hurts, they remain. The loss will still be there and the hurt will still be there. But when they no longer control us, that's what we're looking for, freedom. And we no longer blindly react to them, we will have experienced a healing. Life's healing journey. Please God, by the end of these 9 days, all of us will have experienced a level of healing. It's important to emphasize the need to grieve over any loss or hurt. We need to grieve over the loss of a job, a dream, a relationship, our health, and the loss of any person, place, or thing to which we've become attached. And becoming attached is beautiful. The greater the attachment, the greater the pain of separation, the greater the need there will be for grieving. And there you have a painting by one of the early Franciscans of Mary and Mary of Magdala at the burial of Jesus. grieving,
of course.
I'll read a poem to you that I rather like, and it's in the handout I've given you. Don't you need to look at it there, because I've got it up here, but you've got it for later if you like it. It's by John O'Donoghue, an Irish poet. He calls it For Grief. When you lose someone you love, your life becomes strange. The ground beneath you gets fragile. Your thoughts make your eyes unsure, and some dead echo drags your voice down where words have no confidence. Your heart has grown heavy with loss, and though this loss has wounded others too, no one knows what has been taken from you. When the silence of absence deepens, flickers of guilt kindle regret for all that was left unsaid or undone. There are days when you wake up happy, again inside the fullness of life, until the moment breaks and you're thrown back onto that black tide of loss. Days when you have your heart back, you're able to function well, until in the middle of work or encounter, suddenly with no warning, you're ambushed by grief. It becomes hard to trust yourself. All you can depend on now is that sorrow will remain faithful to itself. More than you, sorrow knows its way and will find the right time to pull and pull the rope of grief until that coiled hill of tears has reduced to its last drop. Gradually, you learn acquaintance with the invisible form of your departed, and when the work of grief is done, the wound of loss will heal, and you will have learned to wean your eyes from that gap in the air and be able to enter the breath in your soul, where your loved one has awaited your center all the time. That may not be your grief, but it may be. Those who study these things tell us that there are physical symptoms of grieving. Check this for yourself. The physical symptoms may include numbness, waves of grief felt throughout the body, muscle weakness, sighing, changes in our sleep and eating patterns. Ignoring these symptoms will block the grieving process, which can wreak havoc on our immune system, leaving us vulnerable to sickness. There are emotional symptoms of grieving. The emotional symptoms may include guilt feelings, blaming, hostile reactions to others and events, confusion, difficulty in making decisions, the inability to continue usual patterns of behaviour. They may not be your symptoms, but they may be. Avoiding grieving will only delay the healing process and often cause serious physical, emotional, and spiritual complications. When we begin to share our story of loss with someone we trust, grieving will begin. It will happen. The healing journey we've agreed to make together provides us with a prayer companion who has experienced a degree of healing and believes in the process. So you have some beautifully trustworthy people who've been along the journey and found healing and will listen respectfully to you. Prayer companions exhibit the qualities of being trustworthy and safe, and you know this, when they accept us as we are, with the feelings we actually have, when they're non-judgmental, able to validate what is real to us and be real with us. They can help us identify and express both the surface feelings and the deeper feelings associated with our grieving. The aim of this retreat, Life's Healing Journey, is to help us come to terms with our hurts and losses, learn to forgive, and find peace. We do this through a process of meditations, which will be suggested to you, exercises, things to do, and prayer. Life's healing journey is not a program that one starts and finishes. It's an experiential, ongoing process that includes trust, sharing, forgiveness, and a closer relationship with God. It's a process of change which leads, when we're ready, to transformation. To be open to welcome God's healing grace, we need to be willing to change. We need to want to embrace change. Until we can face our hurts and losses and share our story with another, no healing of life changes, can happen. Be assured of this, that the healing ministry never forces you to look at your pain. No prayer companion will be doing that. Instead, we encourage you to share at the level you can manage now. As we share our story, pain will surface, and we'll be able to recognize the deeper source of our hurts and our losses. Tomorrow, just to look ahead a little, we'll continue to ease ourselves gently into the process. In the morning, we'll examine our image of God. This can be a serious blockage hindering the healing process. And then in the afternoon, we'll also look at spirituality of the heart. The heart, capital H, the sacred heart of Jesus. So he's with us all the way, and he wants to share his heart with each of you and me. For this permeates the healing process which we're offering in this retreat. From day two, we will take the first of the three basic steps for grieving healing journey. One, we face the reality of our hurts and losses without making judgments. And this includes looking at these. I won't go into them now because the whole process will take you. We're looking at denial, anger, bewilderment, which includes bargaining. And then, in the second part of the retreat, we face the sadness we experience over our losses and disappointments. And we allow ourselves to experience another kind of an anger, an energizing anger. There has to be a better way, we're saying to ourselves. And then we let go of the effects our hurts and losses are having on our life by engaging in a process of forgiveness, which may be absolutely vital, and please God, we might be ready to begin it. Check this for yourself, but I think it's true. There are three barriers which block grieving and healing. And we have to examine our conscience to see if this might be part of my problem or yours. One, the desire for healing to be painless. Grieving may be painful for a time, but refusing to grieve will cause much greater pain. To be healed, we must walk through our pain. And when we feel the pain of our past hurts and losses, we know it's because our pain is beginning to leave us. Another barrier. So the first is we'd like to heal, but we want it to be painless. Secondly, the need for grieving to be fast. Have it all finished in 9 days. Be perfect at the end of it and go home totally healed. Please God, that might happen. But the need for grieving to be fast. Grieving needs to be slow and gradual, and it's different for everybody. When the grieving process is too fast, it'll be temporary. And we might say, well, look, I'm over that. But whenever anyone says to you, I'm over that, you know they're not. The words tell you that they're not. And a third barrier, we want it to be painless, we want it to be fast, the thinking that I can heal myself. Our libraries are full of self-help, how-to books. Grief needs to be shared with someone who will listen with their heart. Sharing is in itself a part of the letting go process. When you're ready and as you're ready. A little bit of the history of this actual retreat, very briefly. In the mid-70s, MSC priests Peter Campbell and Eugene Trainer noted, this is in America, they noted that retreatants were returning year after year with the same issues still unresolved. They decided to close the retreat house and visit other centres worldwide. After some research, they decided that the work done by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross on the stages of grieving in the dying process was most useful. They chose to use and adapt the stages of grieving to prepare for forgiveness, which they also identified as a process. Now, in her study, you're probably familiar, but you may not be, in her study of the dying process, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in her book on death and dying, identified five stages. She calls them denial, anger, bargaining, depression or guilt, grief, and finally, acceptance. She describes the stages of death and dying in an orderly manner, but she cautions that we usually do not grieve in an orderly fashion. Peter Campbell applied these five stages to the process of grieving any significant loss or hurt. As a missionary of the Sacred Heart, he approached the process with a spirituality of the heart, focusing on the heart of Jesus. We'll have more to say on that tomorrow. When we reflect on the stages in the company of Jesus, and that's, you'll be encouraged to do that all week, we grieve in an orderly way, thereby quickening the process. Keeping our focus on Jesus empowers us to travel our healing journey. If you'd please look at that icon for a moment, if you wish, and you're meant to look at the eyes, of course. And as you look at his eyes, I'll translate for you the passage of scripture that's open in Jesus' hands. It's actually written in ancient Slavonic, which I don't understand. But some years ago, in Adelaide, in fact, 20 years ago or something like that, there was a medical doctor in the audience or the group, and he was studying ancient Slavonic. And he said, "Oh, give it to me and I'll take it away and come back with the translation for you." And I said, "Oh, that'd be marvellous, because I love the icon." So now you're about to get the translation, but look at the eyes of Jesus and hear him saying to you on this retreat, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavily burdened, and I'll give you rest. Learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul." I'll put before you, you have it in the handout, because you might like to have it there as you work your way through the week. So you get a bit, you get your bearings and check it by that diagram, which I'm about to show you. It's comparing Kubler-Ross, death and dying, with Peter Campbell's life's healing journey. First step is denial. The person in Kubler-Ross is dying, says, "Well, I'm not dying. So that's quick. And in the life's healing journey, the equivalent is, "Oh, I'm not hurting. I got over that years ago." You may have, but you may not have. Anger, blaming others, blaming the doctor, blaming someone who didn't, whatever, in Kubler-Ross, the others, blaming others for my pain and my loss. Now, they may well have been responsible for a good bit of it, but blaming them isn't helping you heal. Thirdly, Kubler-Ross, bargaining. We set up conditions, she found, to be fulfilled before I'm ready to die. I'll die, but I want to be there for my daughter's 18th birthday, or I want to be there for my 90th birthday, or I want to be there for whatever, and then I'll be okay. In life's healing journey, bargaining is included, but it's broader, I think. It's about confusion and bewilderment. We try to make sense of things, but we can't make sense of it. And in fact, it may not well make sense at all. So we say, well, I'll face the grieving process if, or I'll stop blaming if. And there's an if put in there, a bargaining if. The fourth of the five steps for Kubler-Ross is depression. I blame myself for my dying. And in the process you'll be sharing with us, there are two steps here. One is sadness. I feel sad over the hurt and the loss it caused, leading to another kind of anger, an energizing anger. I'm angry for letting the loss continue to hurt me. There must be a better way, we're saying to ourselves. And finally, going through that process, which Kubler-Ross had observed in many situations, the person comes to acceptance. I accept that I'm dying. I'm peaceful now, and I'm ready to let go. Or, in our retreat, I'm ready to let go those who are responsible for what's happened to me, partly myself but partly others. I'm ready to begin forgiving so that the hurt isn't grabbing me every time it comes to mind. And that leads to a covenant with God. So that's a diagram that you've got if you want to look at it and see where you're going in following days. The Life's Healing Journey program offers us an understanding of the stages of grieving as a kind of a life raft, an assurance that our feelings are normal. They're all different. Everyone in this room is different, but everyone's feeling is normal. Our feelings need to be experienced and shared. And rather clever statement, I think a true one, says you can't heal what you don't feel and revere. The only thing I'll be asking you to do tonight is on this page, which is also on the little handout that I've given you, before you go to bed or sometime during the night when you wake up, if you would, I suggest you ask yourself these four questions and jot something down. Ask yourself, what am I grateful for? It's a beautiful question. Ignatius of Loyola tells us, and it certainly helped me once enormously, always begin your prayer with gratitude. Because when things are grim, and they can be very grim for any of us, they're like a black cloud. Well, if we don't look for the gratitude, the cloud might meet and it's just all black. But it's never all black. Gratitude makes us look for the break that stops the cloud just cramming shut on us. So ask yourself tonight, what are you grateful for? And I imagine you'll have quite a number of things to say. Second question, what am I not grateful for? Really honest question. And you'll have the answer to that as you feel tonight. Thirdly, what would I most want to be different in my history, in my past? What would I most want not to have happened, to be different? And a fourth question, therefore quite probing but lovely, what do I want to change now in my present? This is also on the handout. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. We've said it a couple of times, but let's focus on it. All through this 9 days, keep your focus on him. Throughout life's healing journey, we will be encouraged to begin our reflections by meditating on a scene from the Gospels. Jesus will offer us an experience of his loving presence and will reveal to us the love his Father has for us. Jesus will gradually heal our heart and transform our life, the way he healed the heart and transformed the life of all those people that fill our gospel stories. He will offer us hope when we're feeling alienated, isolated, separated from God in some way. Healing prayer is a way of involving ourselves in Jesus' journey and an invitation to Jesus to involve himself in our journey as our guide, our companion, and our friend. Michelle's already told you the different prayer spaces that are around us. Everywhere is a prayer space where he can be your guide, companion, and friend. Very brief, but maybe helpful, some essentials for prayer. One, go to prayer without any preconceived ideas about your prayer. Two, trust your prayer. Trust that the Spirit you invited to do so is guiding your prayer. And three, be radically honest with yourself and with God. I can't say that without thinking of my own mother who died at 85. I thought she was going to live forever. She was so strong. She fell and broke some ribs, which pierced the lung. And in any case, she was dying. And my brother Jim, who's a priest, also died 10 years ago. He'd given her this lovely prayer of abandonment by Charles de Foucault. And I was very impressed with my mother. She said, "Oh, I can't pray that prayer, like it was too good to..." But in the last week, when she was dying, she wanted to pray it again and again and again. She was ready to pray it. There's a lovely honesty there. We're not saying prayers because God might be pleased with the prayer. We want God to be loving of us, the real me and I. So find your own words, be honest about them, and trust that God loves you the way you are. As you read a gospel passage, a suggestion, bring all your senses to bear. See what's happening. Listen to what's being said. Let your imagination fill out the scene. Notice your emotions as you feel with the person who's encountering Jesus. Ask Jesus, "How are you feeling in that scene?" And imagine yourself then, so you're watching Jesus with whatever scene you're going to work your way through, be suggested and that attracts you. Well, firstly, you're watching it, of course, and interested and trying to find out how people are feeling. But the second step of the prayer is be the person in the gospel. Be the thief on the cross. Be Mary of Magdala with a candle looking for the risen Christ. Be the leper. Be them all. And as you are there, you speak to Jesus. What are you saying to him? And what's he saying to you? Listen to him as he shares his feelings with you. Tell him how you're feeling. Complain if you want to complain. If you honestly are complaining, complain. Blame. Be angry. Just be honest about your real feelings. Don't worry if you can't get in touch with your feelings. Being silent with Jesus is okay with him. Trust that he's with you in your prayer. And some people find journaling helpful, probably most people do, to jot down what you're saying to Jesus and what you hear him saying to you. Don't go to prayer expecting explanations or solutions. Pray, Lord, reveal to me what needs to be revealed now, what I'm ready for. And remain with Jesus in loving silence. Treat him as he treats you, as his friend. I'd like you to pray this with me now. This is also on the handouts. So, well, let's pray it from here, or from your handout if you prefer. It goes for 2 pages, and then I'm going to play you a little bit of music and then let you have an early night. So will we pray this together, please? Come, Holy Spirit, replace the tension within me with a holy relaxation. Replace the turbulence within me with a sacred calm. Replace the anxiety within me with a quiet confidence. Replace the fear in me with a strong faith. Replace the bitterness within me with the sweetness of grace. Replace the darkness within me with a gentle light. Replace the coldness within me with a loving warmth. Replace the night within me with light of your day. Replace the winter within me with your spring. Straighten my crookedness. Fill my emptiness. Dull the edge of my pride. Sharpen the edge of my humility. Lighten the fire of my love. Quench the flames of my lust. Let me see myself as you see me, that I may see you as you have promised me, and be healed according to your word. Amen. And the music is a favourite of yours, I presume. Come as you are. That's Jesus' invitation to each of us tonight. Come as you are.
You are one star.
For the purposes of this retreat, each person in this room is the beloved disciple. You are the beloved disciple, and Jesus wants you to rest on his heart and listen and trust.